Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we go to chapter 23. The topic is the crucifixion. And I'll read it up to verse 34. As they led him, that's Jesus, as they led him away, they see Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put a cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. We'll focus this morning on that first part of verse 24, where it says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It's Good Friday today. And if you know what the Christian church commemorates today, this is a striking name. Today, we remember how Jesus was brutally nailed to a cross. He died the worst death possible. Reason enough to call this day Horrible Friday. Because for those who understand what happened and who believe in Jesus Christ, there still is enough reason to maintain the name Good Friday. For them, for those who believe in him, actually there was never a better Friday than the day that Jesus died. The Bible speaks extensively about what happened in the last hours of Jesus' life. And that is why, all in all, in the different Gospels, we have no less than 7 words of Jesus on the cross, that he spoke while he was on the cross. And today we want to give attention to the first of these words, while they drove the nails through his wrists and feet in order to fix him to the cross. He prayed. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, did he really not know what they were doing? Of course they did. They were killing a man. They were crucifying Jesus. But what they did not realize is this. Jesus is not just a man. He is the Son of God. And God had sent him from heaven to save the world, to change this world from a place of pain and misery and frustration into a place of joy and peace. As people, we all regularly feel the pain that life on earth can cause us. But not everybody knows that all this pain is ultimately self-inflicted. We have to take at least some responsibility for it. For this pain that we experience is caused by our own rebellion against God, the creator of this life. In other words, all earthly misery is ultimately caused by what we call human sin. And we are part of that. Sin is our inclination to do evil which has the ability to destroy everything good. And there is no way that we ourselves will ever be able to solve the problem of sin. And that's the reason why Jesus came from heaven. He came to bring a solution for the problem of human sin. But what did the people for whom he had come do with him? They crucified him. They killed the only person who could have brought them peace and life. How foolish. But that is not the end of the story. Listen, while they drive the nails through his hands, Jesus is praying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And isn't that striking? He pleads for mercy from God towards his killers. And he's saying they are ignorant. But ignorant or not, the effect is still the same. Jesus is crucified, and yet he prays for them. They do not know what they are doing. In other words, if they would have known, they would never have done it. Isn't it tragic that so many people in the world today are totally ignorant of who Jesus is and what he did for them? Think of these people in ancient Jerusalem who were directly responsible for his crucifixion. They knew something about the things of God. They had enough material in their Bible, but they misunderstood it. They knew the passages about the coming of the kingdom of God and were looking forward to its realization. But one thing they preferred not to read. And even if they read it, they preferred not to hear it. It's this, the Bible's call for repentance. Repentance is to humble yourself before God and admit your sin as your biggest problem. See, when Jesus made his appearance in Israel, they thought for a while that he might be the promised new king for them. But somehow, his behavior was not like that of a king. He didn't quite match the expectations of the people. And that's why in the end, they rejected him. And doesn't the same happen today? Are we not inclined to do the same thing? See, some people expect that one prayer to Jesus should be sufficient to solve all their problems. And when it doesn't happen, they turn away from him in disappointment and say, "Well, it doesn't work for me. I've tried it." But no. And isn't that a tragedy? Your ignorance of what Jesus came for can hinder you indeed to get to know him, to have a relationship with him. See, before you find peace with your life and possible problems in your life, you first have to find peace with God. And you'll see then you get a different perspective on all your problems as well. And many of them may go away. But there's only one way to find this peace with God. You've got to deal with your own sin. You've got to acknowledge your own rebellion against God and seek his forgiveness for it. That's another reason why so many people in Jesus' time were ignorant of whom he was. And I mention that because today it's no different. Most people in Israel blindly followed their leaders. They didn't carefully listen to what Jesus said. They never asked him any questions about what he meant. They rather followed their own spiritual leaders who rejected Jesus. If they don't believe in him, why should I? And so they continued their ignorance. And that happens time and again, friends. People just follow what other people tell them. I heard he's a professor in theology. He's Dr. So-and-so. I assume he knows what he's talking about. I'll follow him. Never do that, friends, for you will be led astray. Use your own mind to think through what people say. Overcome your ignorance. And above all, listen to Jesus himself. Get yourself a Bible and read it and find out for yourself. Because that's the way. God wants to write to you personally. So you have to listen to him personally. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and makes clear to you what it is all about. And you won't find out just by following someone. So I'll believe the same as he believes. No, go to the Word of God. Make sure that you check it out yourself in the Bible and hear the Lord speak there to you. The last consequence of ignorance that I'd like to mention. People can do the most horrible things to others while acting in ignorance. They crucified Jesus, and in spite of their religiousness, and in spite of their law that forbade murder, they were convinced that there was nothing wrong in what I did. This is how blind sin can make you. And people can do the same today. I've seen people who, even on their deathbed, are still absolutely blind for the truth and for the reality of their life. They've done damage to a lot of people in their life, but they can't see it. So is there something to ask forgiveness for? Is there something to repent of? You're talking about God, they say? Don't talk to me about him. I don't believe in such rubbish. They die in willful ignorance. Friends, you are not on your deathbed yet. And that gives you the time to rethink your position. Whatever your specific ignorance is with regards to Jesus, it doesn't have to stay like that. For Jesus has already prayed for you. Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he is doing. Father, forgive her, for she doesn't know what she is doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't have a clue about me and my kingdom. That's what Jesus prayed, and he prayed that with each of you in his mind. Now, all this doesn't mean that ignorance doesn't matter. What it says is this, that God has patience, and he chooses to ignore your time of ignorance. Even if it were many years, it's not too late. And he will look past your ignorance as soon as you admit it as a sin to him. As long as you have life, it's not too late. On the cross, Jesus did shed his life blood for people like you and me. And in that blood is enough power for all the people of the world, of all history. And it's on the basis of his own blood that Jesus pleads for you with his Father. And it's a very powerful prayer. If Jesus prays for forgiveness, then the world opens up again. And he prays, Father, break through their ignorance. Remove their blindness so that they may see. See, I know that the very fact that you're alive today is a sign of God's mercy towards you. Look at the cross and understand its message. On that cross, Jesus is stretching out his loving arms to receive you. And there's no better day than Good Friday to break through your natural resistance and surrender to him, the Savior, who volunteered to die on a cross. And if you need help in coming to terms with all this, we'd love to assist you here. But don't forget, coming to church in the Easter weekend in itself means nothing. It's all about getting to know Jesus Christ for yourself. It's only through him that you can receive forgiveness and find peace with God. It's through Jesus alone that you can find freedom from anything that hinders. Indeed, no better day than Good Friday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful gospel we have. And it is so simple. It's actually too simple for complicated human beings to believe it. But it is the simplicity of truth. That we who were bound in sin, who are bound by Satan, are bought free from his power by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. And Lord, I pray today that you will not allow Satan to pick away the seeds that are sown today in the hearts of us, but that the seeds may get roots and that it may grow, and in the end that they may reproduce itself and bear lots of fruit. Lord, that's how the gospel works. And Lord, we know that it does work that way, and we trust that you will continue to work with the gospel that way. Lord, we pray in thankfulness for what you have achieved for us on that horrible cross, that you even went down to the depth of hell to fight Satan personally. And you won, with the result that we never have to go there if we only believe in Jesus, our Savior. Lord, what a wonderful message. And we pray that we may live it, that we may rejoice in it, that the message will set us free from the power of sin that so easily entangles and draws us away from you. Lord, help us to repent every day from where we went wrong, so that all the hindrances and obstacles that we place in our relationship with you may be removed, may be covered by the blood of Christ, so that we can grow into the people you want us to be. Free people, free from fear, free from condemnation, free from the power of sin, free from evil spirits. Lord, we thank you that all these things are offered to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, give them that we will receive it with great thankfulness and great joy, and that we may persevere it. And we pray too for this world where so many people do not know you, that they may get to know you, and that they may learn to love you, so that they too have perspective in their life, so that they too may receive eternal life from you, as you have promised, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him who sent him to this world, that they have crossed over to life and never will die again. Lord, what a wonderful promise, and what a wonderful reality for those who have believed the promise. Lord, continue to work amongst us with your Holy Spirit, and continue to call people into your kingdom. We plead for that in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross. Amen.